Thank you, James.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's really good to be here, and it's an honour and a privilege, really, to just give you some of my thoughts. As James said, I'm continuing our series on running for tomorrow, and my title is Ignoring the Boo Boys and Listening to the Right Voices in Our Race. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, likens it to our Christian walk to a race. I'll get it right in a minute. And as James said, it's like the marathon that's being run. And I just want to turn to Acts 20, verse 24, for those of you who've got Bibles, and it says, despite Paul's hardships, he said this, I consider my life nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. So whatever our God-given tasks in our Christian walk, we are in it for the long haul. We are in it till the finishing line. Those who are running the marathons hopefully will make the finishing line. But we're in it to the finishing line until we get to heaven. But how we run our race is really important. So that brings me to the first part of my subject, ignoring the boo boys. So where do the boo boys come from? If you think about the Olympics, if you think about that, well, not the marathon, but if you think about a race, they usually come from the crowd. They come from the opposition. So who can the crowds be in our lives? Well, sadly, they can come from family members, especially if they're not Christians. I know I have unsaved family, and mostly they accept me. They know I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian a long time. But from time to time, I do feel persecuted by family members, persecuted because of my faith. But I am really pleased to say that God is in control, and it doesn't really matter what others think of me. What matters is what God thinks of me. And of course, our unsaved relatives do not understand that they do not know yet the power of God, the God who created the universe, a God who can do absolutely anything. We spoke about a limitless God. There's nothing he cannot do, and he can make a change in their lives because he loves them and he has a plan for them as well. And even though they don't realize it, he's at work in their lives and in the process of revealing himself to them, of wooing them, of drawing them to him, especially when we pray for them. And if you think back, I know I can think back about my Christian walk. Before I was a Christian, it's only when I look back I realize that God was working in my life, and I'm sure most of us can say that here today. Long before we were saved, he was working in us and through us. And this is because of his love and faithfulness in wanting everyone to be saved. Now, there's stories in the Bible of family conflict, and the most famous one was Joseph, who was born to his father Jacob in his old age. He was the firstborn son of Jacob's beloved wife, Rachel. Most of us know the story, how Jacob gave Joseph a coat of many colors because of his love for him. And this caused his brothers, who were already upset and jealous about Joseph's dreams, this caused them to plot to kill him. And we know that Reuben talked them out of this, and they sold him as a slave instead. And we can read in the Bible of the many trials that Joseph went through, being wrongly accused by Potiphar's wife, being thrown into prison, being forgotten about by those he'd given in dreams of interpretation of their dreams. But the thing is, God didn't forget about him. I'm sure Joseph must have felt at times that he had, but God didn't forget about him. And despite the opposition from those that he worked for, from those in his family, he completed his race. He fulfilled what God's plan was for his life. And the trials that he went through made him the person he was to become. He learned when he managed Potiphar's household. He learned how to run things and to organize things, to oversee staff. He learned these things as well in prison. He was very much a person there who was trusted and relied upon. And these things helped him to become the ruler of Egypt. And it was all part of God's plan. And it's the same for us. Whatever we go through, nothing is ever wasted. God, you can use it. So opposition, he went through opposition. Opposition is a byproduct of obedience to God. And so believers can expect opposition when we do God's work. So if you'd like to turn to 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, it says here, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So there it is. It's not going to be all plain sailing, that's what I'm looking for. We will be persecuted. It's true today as it was then, and we should not be surprised if we are opposed for holding fast to God's will. The previous leader of the Liberal Party, he had to step down because of the boos, because of persecution, because of his Christianity, because of pressure. And these things happen to us as well. Unbelievers and spiritual forces are always at work where God's people are concerned. We see this all around the world, Christians persecuted because of their faith. So we have to listen out for these boo boys and be aware of them. But it's not just our family, well-meaning friends and work colleagues, whether Christians or non-Christians, they can sometimes influence us for the wrong. But we have to stay positive. We have to listen to God's voice. We should always pray about and test things that are said to us for guidance. I know I've said before when I came to Lincoln, three people at my other church told me I was coming here, but I had to hear that from God. I had to have that confirmed by God. You always have to test things. And you mustn't listen to discouraging voices. If we look at Ezra, chapter 4, 1 to 24, we can read how Ezra, in the rebuilding of the temple, had opposition. We will get opposition. Their enemies offered help. They offered them by compromising alliances. And this wasn't God's way. They knew that it wasn't God's way, so they said to them, the Israelites, that is, they told them, you have no part in the building of God's temple. We alone will build it for the Lord, the God of Israel. And if you particularly look at verse 4, it said, the people around them set out to discourage the people of Judah and make them afraid to go on building. Now this verse here, make them afraid, is quite strong. Because if you look it up in the Hebrew, it means as not just fear, but it's as if in a battle. And sometimes your life, when you're trying to walk with Jesus, trying to live your life, it can sometimes feel like a real battle. They attempted to discourage and intimidated them, causing them to fear, causing them to feel as they were in a battle. Even writing letters to the king who stopped the rebuilding of the temple until the reign of King Darius of Persia. So things were delayed because of their opposition, because of their persecution. So, and delays and opposition, we can expect these, but we need to be aware of them. We need to be aware of these tactics so they don't put us off. We can move ahead with the work of God. God has planned for us and trust in him to show us and overcome obstacles. And often, opposition is often an opportunity to show strength of character. Even when Jesus sent out his disciples in Luke 10, he said in verses 3, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. They would have to be careful because they would be sure to meet opposition. And sometimes it can be the same for us. We can be sent out into the world like sheep among wolves, like lamb among wolves. And we need to be alert and remember to face your enemies, not with aggression, of course, but with love and gentleness, and but showing strength of character. These are things always build our character. And Martin Luther King Jr. said this: the ultimate measure of a person is not where they stand in moments of comfort and convenience, but where they stand in time of challenge and controversy. The ultimate measure of a person is not where they stand in moments of comfort and convenience, but where they stand in times of challenge and controversy. As long as we're in contact with human beings, we may encounter grumblers or even be in danger of becoming one ourselves. Misunderstandings will occur. Selfish ambitions will rear its ugly head. Not here, of course, but we will encounter opposition. So our opposition sometimes also reveals a fear of change. Sometimes it can be difficult not to have change, but God always is moving, and we are always going to experience change. Moving on with God, continuing the race, will involve change. And sometimes we can have inner battles. Some people don't want to be changed, maybe because of fear of or anxiety or discouragement. Those around Ezra really tried to discourage him, but he kept his eyes on God and his way. So don't listen to the wrong voices. Keep focused on God and the tasks ahead. James mentioned a book a couple of weeks ago by Christine Kane, and she said this: internal conflict can shut things down and slay our passions far quicker than any eternal attack. So our emotions, our feelings, can deter us. This can often be our greatest battle. And any here old enough to remember the film Pollyanna? Yeah, a few of you. Well, if I remember correctly about the film, she was a vicar's daughter who went to live with an old aunt who was strict and set in her ways and didn't really want Pollyanna there. Pollyanna's father taught her to have a positive attitude, teaching her that there were over 800 rejoicing verses in the Bible. So she would rejoice and be glad whatever her situation. She was very positive. She always found something good out of difficult circumstances, and this had a knock-on effect on those around her, causing them to love her. Eventually, even the old aunt became to love her. So a positive attitude in difficulties is really important. She didn't let the negative voices around her affect the way she lived or affect the person she was. Instead, she influenced others, and we're called to be the same, not to listen to negative voices, not to be discouraged or fearful, but to keep focused on our goal, keep focused on God's plan, to run and not give up. Be positive as she was, with the word of God to help you. Often our worst enemy can be ourselves, and there are many things that can deter us. As I've said, or one of them is fear. But we can often feel inadequate for the tasks that we're called to do as well. But God will give us what we need. And if you read the Bible, many Bible characters were the same. But they did it anyway. They felt inadequate. They didn't feel up to the task, but they did it anyway. Although, of course, we know Jonah ran away. But eventually, he obeyed God's will. So it's no good running away. God will have his way in the end. But often, this can be the enemy setting doubts in our mind, causing you to feel inadequate, thinking you cannot do it. The truth is, and you have to speak the truth, if God has asked you to do it, he will enable you. And a feeling of fear will pass. Christine in her book also said, when you learn to see areas of fear as places where trust is about to grow, fear gives way to courage. That's really good, isn't it? And she said there are other passion slayers, as she calls them in her book. And so her book is well worth a read. I'm just halfway through it at the moment, but it's a really good book. So regardless of how we feel, it's by trusting that we grow and we build our spiritual muscle. Another thing that can deter us on our walk is weariness. If you look at Matthew 11:28, it says, "Come to me, all of you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We can get weary in body, in mind, in spirit. We need rest. We need time alone with God. Otherwise, we'll become disheartened and lose our passion. We need to get the balance right, and it's not always easy. Sometimes as well, we get weary because we don't know when to say no. We can't do everything, but of course, God can. And then there's impatience. We can feel like giving up because of what God has said and because it has not come to pass. We think, when is this going to happen? When is what he said going to take place? But sometimes it just takes time. There's the story of a centipede. Karen said to me, "Have you got a joke?" But I said, "Oh, no, I haven't got one today." But I just remembered one. There's a story of a man who was really lonely. He was really lonely, so he said, "I'm going to get myself a little pet." So he went to the pet shop. I've told this before, so sorry of those of you who have been on Alpha and heard it before. So he went into the shop and he said, "I want a little pet, something that I can carry around with me." So in the end, he bought a little centipede and he put it in a matchbox and he carried it with him anywhere, everywhere he went. So one morning he got up and he said, "Right, I'm going to take you for a walk today." So there was no answer. So he said, "Are you in there? Can you hear me?" And the centipede said, "Yes." So he waited and he said, "Well, it's a long time. What on earth are you doing?" So he said, "I'm putting my shoes on." So sometimes it can feel like that when we're waiting on God. But the truth is, we don't know to put our shoes on. We need to put on the Holy Spirit. We need to walk with God. But we can feel the same impatience. And if it seems that evil and suffering go unchecked when you look around the world, and you wonder when God's going to put a stop to all this. And David said he would continue to trust God no matter how long he had to wait for God's justice. He trusted in God's steadfast love. And we are called to the same because we know that God's timing is perfect. So what, we're all human, so what should we do when we feel like giving up? Rather than giving in, pray, asking God to guide you through these feelings, to deliver you from them. How many times have the psalmist talked to God about how they're feeling? They've poured out their sorrows, they've poured out their hearts, and then they end up praising God. So that's what we need to do. We need to bring it to God. If God brings you to something, he will see you through it. And God's absolute sovereignty is one reason never to give up. In Matthew 9, God changed the situation. We all know the story. It had been a problem for 12 years, and Jesus healed the woman with the issue of blood when she touched the hem of his garment. Although she was considered unclean and had not been able to lead a normal life, she pressed on in. Regardless of what was happening around her, regardless of the opposition, regardless of people probably would stand in her way, she pressed on in and Jesus changed and restored her situation. And God can change what seems unchangeable, giving new purpose and new hope. So being honest with our feelings is really important. It's our first step towards victory. And more than that, giving up can cause us to miss the best God has to offer. It's so easy to quit. Most of us have faced problems in our relationships or at work. They have caused us to want to think about laying down tools and walking away, but that is not the way. Ephesians 3, verse 16, Paul said this, I pray out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you through his spirit in your inner being. There may be times, especially when Paul was in prison, that he felt the same way. He may have felt like giving up, but rather than giving up, Paul concentrated on experiencing the inner strength that the Holy Spirit gives us. Don't let fatigue, pain, criticism force you from finishing your race, from finishing the job that God has set out for you. Renew your commitment to Jesus. Run the race you are called to run. We need to endure. We need to persevere. So why is endurance an important spiritual quality? On another occasion, when Jesus was sending out his disciples in Matthew 10, verse 22, he said, "All men will hate you because of me, but all of you who stand firm to the end will be saved." Because Christians do not belong to the world, persecution from the world is inevitable. The basic reason is the world's ignorance and rejection of God. But it won't always be this way. We just have to be aware and persevere to the end. And in this way, through persevering, we will grow spiritually. And endurance means that we'll have a joy in Jesus, because Jesus lives in us as believers, and we can remain courageous and firm to the end because we have him in us by his Holy Spirit. And being steadfast and firm in our faith does not save us, of course, but our courage and hope reveals that our faith is real. Without this enduring faithfulness, we could easily be blown by the winds of temptation, false teaching, persecution, or emotions, or the booze of life. Luke 21, verse 19, encourages, as it says, "By standing firm, you will gain life." And that's life in all its fullness, a life that Jesus has set out for us. A walk with Jesus that brings joy as we fulfill our God-given potential. There's nothing like it. If you try to run away like Jonah, it's not the same. You need to fulfill your God-given potential, doing what you were made for. Even so, endurance sometimes requires preparation. Jesus told his disciples that when arrested for preaching the gospel, they should not worry about that, what they would say in their defense. God's Spirit will speak through them. And this is true. This promise was fulfilled in Acts 4, 8 to 14 and many other places in the Bible. God's Spirit spoke through them. But the but that I wanted to put in is that some mistakenly think we don't have to prepare to present the gospel, as God will take care of everything. Scripture teaches, however, that we are to make careful, prepared statements. And in Colossians 4, verse 6, it says, "Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you'll know how to answer everyone." So we do rely on the Holy Spirit. We do need him. But we also need to pray. We also need to read the Word of God. He can't call out things from within us if the Word isn't already there. So we need to be prepared for every answer that we're called to give. Jesus tells us not to stop preparing, but to stop worrying. He calls us not to worry. And prayer and Scripture are our means of attack. But not just our means of attack, there are our means of defense. We need prayer, we need Scripture, just as Jesus did when he was tempted by Satan. But also, as we endure, endurance grows out of our commitment to Jesus. Jesus predicted, "In this world you will have problems, but take heart. Even in the midst of problems or trouble, you can have hope." We may be pressured to give up by the boo boys, by persecution. Don't turn your back on Christ. Remember the benefits of standing firm and continue to the end. And standing firm to the end, we will be blessed. Perseverance is not a means to earn salvation. It's a byproduct of a truly devoted life. So God will make our perseverance worthwhile. To keep cool when you are jarred and jolted by people or circumstances, don't react quickly. The Holy Spirit is there to help us, giving us self-control. In your work, in your ministry, whatever it is you undertake, keep your heads. Because this makes you morally strong to temptation, resistant to pressure, and vigilant when facing heavy responsibility. As he neared the end of his life, Paul could say he had been faithful to his call. And in this way, he faced death calmly, knowing that Jesus Christ would reward him. In this way, you live your life preparing for death. Do you share Paul's confident expectation of meeting Jesus? The good news is it's not just for giants of the faith. It's for each of us here today as well. Paul encourages us to stand firm, to keep running the race, however difficult it may seem. When we are with Jesus, we will discover it was all worth it. And I know this is a verse that has been mentioned before. It's Hebrews 12, 1, verse 1, but it's an important verse. It says, "Therefore, since we have a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and of the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with the endurance the race that is set before us." If you think about this, a great cloud of witnesses, this imagery suggests an athletic competition in an amphitheatre. And this time, it's not the Boo Boys, it's encouraging witnesses, heroes of faith, as it says in chapter 11. Not spectators, not Boo Boys, but inspiring examples. There are those who've gone before us, who've gone through the same things, and we need to be just like them. And we can do that with God's help. We throw off everything that hinders us by keeping our eyes on Jesus and by not forsaking our reward. I'm going to ask Chris if he'll put a little video up for me now.
We've got to stand strong and determined, and we've got to have a made-up mind that no matter what comes against us in life, we are going all out with God. And nothing is going to shake our faith and cause us to give up. See, the people that experience God's best are the people that have a never-say-die attitude. Anybody can quit. Anybody can give up. That's the easy way out. But God's looking for people that have a backbone made of steel. The Bible says God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. God is looking for people that are extremely determined, people that have a made-up mind, people that have their face set like a flint. The scripture says here, 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Notice that word always indicates that perseverance should become a habit. But we must realize, just as standing strong and persevering can be a habit, so can quitting and giving up. And unfortunately today, many people have developed this negative habit of quitting. It's just part of their character. When times get tough, rather than fighting the good fight of faith, they just take the easy way out and quit. But friends, God has not given us the Holy Spirit so we could become quitters. Philippians 4:13 says, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Who hasn't ever failed? Be persistent. God never promised us that our dreams were going to come to pass on the very first time. Abraham Lincoln went through 11 political defeats, a nervous breakdown, the loss of two of his children, and a severe depression all before he was elected president of the United States. See, he was determined. He had that never-say-die attitude. It's reported that Thomas Edison failed 32,000 times before he finally invented the phonograph. Can you imagine how tempted he must have been to give up after try number 1,000 or try number 10,000? What if on try number 31,999, he would have said, forget it, this thing's not going to work, I'm giving up. No, he would have missed out on God's best. And how many times do we allow the enemy to deceive us into giving up right before our dreams come to pass?
Very strong words have a never say die attitude, but I want to look at, don't let the enemy deceive you before your dreams come to pass. We know the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion. He's there to deceive us. He's there to deter us. He is a liar and a deceiver. And yes, he can try to use our loved ones and our friends and our workmates to get at us. He can love us. He can leave us and put disquieting thoughts in our mind. He always attacks our mind. And you can try whatever way you like. No, that's not quite right. You can try in God's strength because he that is in us is greater than he that is in our world. And although if you read the word for today a couple of weeks ago, it said his power can only be exercised under God's discretion, and his attacks can drive you closer to God and strengthen your face and take you to greater heights. So we need this perseverance, as that video talked about. We need to know that God will never give us anything more than we can handle. And sometimes we have to have these times of testings because it strengthens us and it makes us aware of danger. I heard a story about a little girl who suffered from a rare condition called SEPA. When suffering from this illness, it gives you the inability to suffer pain. So her mother would pray for her every day to help, asking God to help this little girl feel pain. That seems a strange thing to pray for, but we have to have this sense. We have to have this sense. Otherwise, how do you know it's going to hurt if you put your hand in the fire or if you stand on a nail? It makes us aware of danger. And we don't have to be afraid, of course, because as I said, he who's in us is greater than he that's in the world. We just need to be aware of his tactics. And so listening to the right voice during our race is very important. I've already spoke about the negative voices, but what about the positive ones? Well, it's good to listen to others, those who've been walking with the Lord for a long time, from wise leaders, and sometimes we need to talk a problem over give us a clearer perspective. And the Holy Spirit is there, always there to lead us. And the Word of God tells us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And if Christ is for us, who can be against us? There are many encouraging verses in Scripture, encouraging verses that can just show us and guide us and teach us, even in the midst of trials. And God will direct our steps if we ask him. Just like Joseph, he speaks to us through dreams and visions. There have been many occasions, I'm sure, that we can witness to this, to God and his voice speaking to us. We need to pray and listen to God's voice through the Bible, through others, through the prophetic words, always making sure that what is said lines up with what God says in the Bible. I like this quote. Napoleon Bonaparte said, "Victory belongs to the most persevering." We need to persevere. And I noticed a couple of weeks ago, there was a football team on the TV. I'm not sure what it was, but it showed their club. And on the wall was put, winning mentality. We need a winning mentality. Don't listen to wrong voices. Focus on Jesus. Listen to the right voices. And test everything. Run for tomorrow. It would be absolutely awful if to come this far and then give up. I'm going to ask the worship team if they'd like to come forward now. But just one last verse to finish on. Isaiah 33, verse 22. The Lord is our King. It is He who will save us. He is our King. He will save us, whatever we go through. He teaches us how to live. God has given us a healthy way to love ourselves and to love others. We are called to respect ourselves. That's what it means to have a good self-value or a good self-worth. Don't be ruled by emotions. We need to see ourselves as God sees us, a unique, irreplaceable and beloved creation with a divine, eternal plan and purpose. Don't let what others say drag you down, and don't put yourself down. Hold up your head, face the world with the knowledge that you are a child of God, the daughter or the son of the King of the universe. Preserve, persevere, run the race, never giving up, overcoming obstacles, trusting in God all the way to bring you through. Don't rely on yourselves, or you'll never do it. Rely on God's power, God's guidance, God's ways, God's word to bring you through. Listen for His voice. He will never, ever let you down. Thank you.